Bibles out this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We continue in this study in verses 10 through 20 of chapter 6 on spiritual warfare. Let's hear the word of God, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray. Again, we thank you, Father, for sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to be the light of the world, full of grace and truth, the one in whom we can see God. And we ask that you would help us to understand that He has sent the Spirit to inspire the Apostle Paul to teach us how to live in a fallen world where sin is abounding, and even in our own hearts where sin reigns in those who do not know you and still fights in those that do. So help us to put on our full gospel armor and fight the good fight of faith as our Lord Jesus Christ did, who did not grow weary in well-doing, who did not fall short of going to the cross and giving himself up voluntarily to atone for the sins of his people. And we ask that you would help us also to look into the empty tomb once again and see the almighty power of God that not only raised him from the dead, but whose power also works in our hearts to give us eternal life and faith. We thank you that we have hope because of Christ and His accomplishments and His intercession for us now, and the work of the Spirit in human hearts, that we can live in this world as a Christian, as a follower of the Son of God, fighting the good fight of faith and bringing glory to Him in all that we do. Help us to understand how to do that and put on the full armor we need to stand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've already seen in our previous studies that in this passage, verses 10 through 20, that Paul is telling Christians that to live as they should in this world, as lights in the darkness, as husbands and wives that are to manifest the love of God to each other, as parents and children who are to love one another as God has called them to and raise those children in the nurture and discipline in the Lord, as He has called them to live at work as faithful workers with a good attitude and as a witness of Christ, and those who are over others to be gracious and patient and kind in their rule. He says, we are facing a spiritual battle. And this battle is not against flesh and blood, as we often think. It's not really against people, others in our lives. It's rather a spiritual battle over our hearts and minds, wherein every one who has not come to Christ is attacked and ruled by the evil one. As Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, he said to the Pharisees, religious people. But also, this one comes to attack the believer, to draw our minds away from Christ, to cause us to hate, to fear, to worry, to despair, and to yield to the temptations of sin that come our way, to entrap our lives once again into evil and to dishonor the name of God, which He dearly desires to do. We're in a spiritual warfare. We cannot always see it with our eyes, but it is true. We've seen that we have to put on the belt of truth before we go out to battle. This belt, which is really the truth of God that has been revealed to us in all the scriptures and in Jesus Christ, who is the truth Himself. We have to put on that belt as the foundation to give strength to our core and our back in order to do great effort to live for God in this world. And this means that we are to be convinced of God's truth as true and committed to build our life upon this truth no matter what happens, no matter what others think. We're to put on the belt of truth and say, God is true. And to live for His glory, His way, is the best thing I can do and the right thing for me to do in this world, no matter the sinful desires of my heart or what others think or do to me. We put on the belt of truth and we put on the breastplate of righteousness, knowing, as Mitch taught so well in Sunday school, and I hope that those of you that haven't been coming will come to that study on spiritual depression from Dr. Lloyd-Jones. Mitch is teaching us this, and he taught us again this morning that the righteousness of Jesus Christ covers every believer in Him to make us acceptable to God as if we were perfectly righteous. Through faith in Christ, God gives us gifts, the forgiveness of sins, the atonement for our sins, the gift of eternal life, but He also gives us a breastplate of righteousness. And as we believe that and place it over our heart as we go to battle each day, we can know that God is for us justly and not against us, that He accepts us in His Son. But we come now to the next piece of armor that he mentions in verse 15, putting on or having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. First, he talks about the belt around the waist and the covering of our chest. And now he talks about our shoes. We need a certain kind of shoe to live for Jesus Christ faithfully in this world. Now, the Roman soldiers had special shoes. It's interesting to go back into encyclopedias and other things and see the different kinds and pictures of shoes that people wore in those days. But the Roman soldiers' shoes, or sandals, were a very special kind of shoe. They were very thick on their bottom with leather. They were sort of sandals, but sort of shoes as well, because they were laced up and strengthened around the ankle and the heel. And these shoes had reinforcements in various parts, sometimes on the toe or the heel of leather or brass to protect their feet in war. Whether they were marching and sharp sticks were put into the ground to pierce a soldier's foot, these leather sandals protected them from those sharp sticks. And when they were in battle, the covering sometimes on the heel of brass or bronze or on the toe protected them from being wounded by a blow from the enemy. Sometimes these shoes or sandals were covered over on the very top of the foot with a shin guard, or what is called a greave, that was made usually of bronze or brass that covered the shin and had a lip that went over on the foot to keep the foot from being wounded by a sword or a spear. Many of these shoes of the Roman soldier had very thick leather soles in which were driven hobnails of brass or bronze that gave them greater traction when they were marching. Their feet did not slip. They could march faster than any other army on earth at that time. And when they were in battle, these hobnails enabled them to have traction on the ground as they were fighting their good fight. We call those golf shoes today. To help us be stable, to be able to stand and not be pushed around. So Christians are to put on special shoes, that they may march steadily and stand solidly in battle against Satan and his wiles. And this was on Paul's mind in prison again, I believe, because he was chained to a Roman soldier in jail when he wrote this letter to the Ephesian church. And this Roman soldier probably had that belt of truth and that breastplate of righteousness. And as Paul was sitting next to him and contemplating what sort of armor he had, he looked at his shoes and he said, "You know, those shoes are better shoes than anyone else has in war. We need gospel shoes," he said to himself. And he taught the Ephesian church that they needed to put on shoes of the gospel of peace. He says in verse 15, "Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And that word is used only once in the New Testament, and there's some debate by commentators on what it means. But its root word is the verb for prepare. And that's used many times in the New Testament. For instance, when Jesus told the disciples to prepare themselves for a journey, they were to get ready, they were to have everything done and what they needed. They were to go and prepare the Passover feast. They were to go and make sure that the room was rented, that the food was provided, that the furniture was there so that they could eat the Passover together. Jesus even said, "Go find the donkey that God has prepared for me to ride on into Jerusalem." It means everything's ready. Everything's there. It means a good foundation, a preparedness for battle. But what is the gospel of peace to do with this? The preparation of the gospel of peace. What has that got to do with spiritual battle and warfare? Well, obviously it's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of peace. There's something about the gospel of Jesus Christ that prepares us for battle. When we look at history and we see and read sometimes what happened in World War II, or the war between the states, or the war of the revolution, Korea, Vietnam, even our Iraqi veterans, we find that many of them testified to having an odd peace as they went into battle. Not everyone did, but many of them did. And they will tell why they think they felt that way, especially the World War II veterans. Though they may have had fear in their hearts regarding the fighting itself, they had a peace that they were doing the right thing because they were protecting their families back home. They were bringing peace to the world. They understood what they were fighting for. And there's a certain peace, a certain foundation, a stability that comes in knowing what you're fighting for. There is a peace of mind even that comes that though you may lose your life in battle, you are saving the life of your child or your family. I believe that the gospel of peace means several things in this passage. The shoes that we put on, this preparation, being ready, founded and grounded on the gospel of peace that enables us to go to battle. And there are four things that I want to mention this morning about that. And the first one is this. I believe that this gospel of peace shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace shoes, is referring first of all to the Christian's peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the peace of soul that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings to those that believe it and believe in Him. This is necessary to fight against Satan's wiles and deceits and temptations to bring us into sinful behavior with our thoughts, our words, and our deeds toward others. We need to understand that if we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to bring us to peace with God, then we already have the very best thing that is possible to know or experience in this life. You have to settle on that you are at peace with God, and this is the greatest thing in the world. That knowing your own heart and mind, the thoughts that you have had about God or other people, the things that you have said to others that have murdered them with your tongue, the deeds that you've done that you're ashamed that anyone would know about in public, that all these things have been placed upon the Son of God when He was nailed to the tree, and that in that moment of death upon the cross, He experienced the wrath of His Father unto death. For you who believe in Him, that your offenses may be taken away from God, and that the war between you and God would be over. That you would be at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing in the world to know that you have the forgiveness of a good and holy God against your evil. To know that He loves you when He could hate you. To know that His presence by His eternal, omnipresent, and almighty Spirit is with you and in you all the time as a believer, that you have become a temple of the living God everywhere you go. To know that God has promised to care for you and move heaven and earth and history and every person in the universe to cause all things to work together for good for you who are called according to His purpose and who love Him. These are the things that bring peace of mind because you have peace with God. And no matter what happens to you in this world, there's an eternity of uncountable, immeasurable, infinite years in our terms of living in the presence of God's love and kindness and the fellowship of all those that have believed in Him forever and ever. To have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest thing this life has to offer. And until you settle that in your mind and believe it in your heart, the things of this world and the sinful attractions of this world and the temptations that Satan brings into your life to forget God and sin against Him and others, until you believe that, they will still have power over you. But when you come to believe that you're at peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, they lose their power to dominate you as they once did. And you start to think against them and think against Satan and his wiles. To put on the gospel shoes means that you remind yourself every day that you have once for all been justified by faith alone in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that therefore you have peace with God through Him. And it is in believing in His gospel of peace that He has brought you that you begin to find strength and peace of God as you live. Satan may tell you that you're unworthy of peace with God. He whispers in our minds, you're too sinful. This gospel is too good to be true. And you're too inconsistent for God to love you. God is sick of you. God is enraged against you, he says. At such times, his deceits deny the gospel of peace and make you question whether or not it is true. And therefore, he undermines your stability of a living, continual relationship with this God. And then he has you because he causes you to doubt the goodness of God, the sufficiency of Jesus Christ for your soul, and makes you to be tempted to feel alone and without God and his help to fight the good fight of faith, to live for his glory. If he can get you to believe this temptation to deny the goodness of God and the grace of God in Jesus Christ, then he can convince you that you're alone in battle. He can confuse your mind and how you're thinking, and the next thing you know, you're fallen into a sin, a word, a deed that you greatly regret. This is why you have to put on the gospel shoes to be able to stand firm against the wiles and deceits of the devil and his attempts to bring you into sin and dishonor of God. You have to put on those shoes all the time, every day. As I was thinking through this idea of gospel shoes, I could not help but think of this picture of myself when I was a little boy. And I'm sure all of us have similar memories like this. But I think probably a preschooler, five, something like that. I had cowboy boots. I got them for Christmas, and I loved them, and I wore them every day. And I had them fixed where my skates were attached to them. And so in the morning, when I got out of bed, the first thing I did was put my feet in those boots and start skating around the house, then go outside and skate down the street. They were wonderful. And I could go with those boots and skates. But it's ridiculous to think that I would go outside without any shoes on in cold weather or a gravel driveway or something like that where my feet would be hurt. You don't go out the door to work barefooted, at least I hope you don't. When we get up in the morning, we put on our clothes and we put on our socks and our shoes, and then we go out to do battle. That's a simple illustration, and that's all Paul is saying here. You've got to put on those gospel shoes so that everywhere you go, you are supported by the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how you live. You live in that gospel of peace with God. That eternal life is yours. That eternal love from such a holy God who has been so satisfied in the death of his Son for you that he loves you with all his heart. This eternal love is so wonderful and comforting that there's nothing that Satan has in this world that's more attractive than that. Better than that. He brings temptations to our minds, sometimes lustful thoughts or a situation that we see that generates the temptation to sinful lust. Sometimes he brings opportunities for sexual immorality. Sometimes he brings the opportunity to lie to get something that we really want, even if we're lying to another person whom we're supposed to love. He brings opportunities to sin, to cheat to get what you want, to be lazy at work and still get a paycheck as if you worked honestly. On and on we go. He tempts us to escape from the sorrows and pressures of this life through drunkenness or drugs or obsessive behaviors. He tempts us to explode in anger, to control those around us who are starting to get out of our control. He tempts us. But compare the satisfaction of those sins with the gifts of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it worth it? Or is it that eternal life and its blessings in Christ are such greater blessings and happiness that you're no longer attracted to sinful temptations, to hate, to attack, to lie, to cheat? That God has given you such wonderful things that there's nothing that you would trade your soul for to do? Remembering the gospel of Christ reduces the attractive power of sinful temptations and helps us to say no to them, to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when you get up in the morning, you have to put on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, that you believe in the truth of God as you go out into this world, the breastplate of righteousness, that you're accepted in Jesus Christ by God, and that as you go out in this world, you need to be standing on the gospel of peace. That having justified once for all by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and all the many and precious promises and blessings that come from that. And getting our mind straight and putting on our gospel shoes is necessary to fight the good fight of faith. The second thing that we, I think, learn from this preparation, this foundation, this being prepared by these gospel of peace shoes, it means that the gospel of peace shoes bring us peace with God and peace of God. Putting on the gospel of peace shoes means that we so believe that we're at peace with God that it brings the peace of God to our mind and hearts. If you really believe that Jesus Christ loved you and gave himself specifically for you upon the cross to bear your punishment that you deserve, the hell you deserve, to give you the heaven you don't deserve, and that he did this at the cost of his own life to satisfy the righteous wrath of his Father in heaven. If you really believe that you have peace with God, then you can have the peace of God no matter what is happening to you at the moment. But you have to remember the peace with God in order to have the peace of God, no matter what Satan is trying to tempt you with to sin against God. Because of Christ, you can know that God is for you and not against you any longer. Sometimes our circumstances are so difficult that it is hard to believe that we are at peace with God. For the question of Psalm 37 and Psalm 73 is this: why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer like they do? Why did this happen to Job? Why did these things happen to Paul? Why are these things happening to me? It's hard to have peace of mind and heart, the peace of God, when your children are straying, when the economy is going bad, when your retirement has been extended even more beyond 100. How do you have peace of mind, peace of heart in such times. We're so tempted to worry about the future, as if that could change anything. We're so tempted to be angry about the present and what is happening. And we're tempted to lose heart in trying to live a loving, Christ-like life with those all around us. Sometimes it seems too hard. Well, Paul was in prison at this time when he wrote this passage. He was chained to a Roman soldier, and he did not know if he would be executed or not at this time, so he trusted that God had his wisdom about this. The Philippian church had forgotten to send food and clothing and some other things to help maintain Paul. And they were grumbling and fighting with each other, apparently. Nothing so disturbs a pastor's heart when God's people do not treat each other as Christians. And he couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't communicate. He couldn't get out of jail. He couldn't go fix it. He had to sit there and trust the Lord. He could have gotten angry or depressed, but he didn't. And in the letter to the Philippians, he told us how he retained peace of mind in a situation that's far worse than any of us here have at this time. And he said, this is how you do it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Do you have anxiety and worry in your life? Are you divided, which is what that word means, and your distraction from God because you're worried about this or that? Do not be anxious about anything, this man in jail says. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer. A certain kind of prayer. Make your requests known to God. Lord, get me out of jail. But I thank you that you're in charge and you know what is best. And you have proven it on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you're wise and good in everything you've ordained in my life. I trust you. And he says something strange will happen then. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is not something you do. This is something God does. This is what God does in response to those who exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that you are at peace with God, giving thanks for all that God has done for you in Christ, that he has never one day given you what you really deserve. Something happens when you believe that God, that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's Spirit brings the peace of God to your mind and heart. And it enables you to live. He tells us to find our joy always in the Lord, not people and things. In Jesus Christ and his gospel of peace, not in circumstances. He tells us to pray in our sorrows with thanksgiving to God for his goodness in Christ and his undeserved grace. And he says if we'll do that, the peace of God will come. Our minds will be guarded from living in worry and fear and anger and distrust. A peace and an that is beyond our ability to understand all the circumstances that are happening to us at the moment, a peace of God will come. And we will say with hope, I don't understand, but my God does. And I can live as a Christian now. I can trust Him. Such thinking, such belief in peace with God results in God giving a peace that overcomes the temptation to lose heart, to quit, to think evil of God, and yield to the temptation to sin. Because we know that sin has nothing to offer us but death and despair. And God has given us everything in the face of Christ. Paul could say later on in that same passage, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't have to yield to sin because the circumstances are bad. You can never say the devil made me do it or you made me sin. Because we always do the sinning, and it's always against God. And only the peace that passes understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, can help us to think straight in the midst of trial and temptation, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. We must put on the gospel shoes to have stable minds. We must believe that we're at peace with God and let the peace of Christ rule our hearts, Paul said, and be thankful. And as we do this, God promises to work in us, to increase our faith, to give us a peace that is beyond understanding, which enables us to think straight and fight the good fight of faith. The third thing that these gospel shoes of peace mean, I think, is that they prepare us, or the gospel of peace prepares us, to live at peace with men. Satan uses other people to tempt us. Now, you may think that's mystical or superstitious, yet the Bible says so. We understand what the Bible said when Satan entered into Judas Iscariot at the Last Supper, and Jesus said, "What you do, go do." And he went out and he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver because Satan captured his heart and he sinned against Christ. But he's not the only one that was influenced by Satan in Jesus' band. When Peter tried to resist Christ's statement that he had to go up to Jerusalem and die, Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." And when Peter was going to deny Christ three times, as Christ told him, he said, "Satan has asked permission to sift you." But then he said, "I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail." Satan does use other people to tempt us to sin against God, to refuse to love God with all our heart as we should, refuse to love our neighbor as we should. Paul was tempted by Satan through others, false brethren, false teachers that destroyed the work of the church that he had established. He was always having to write letters back to Galatia and Colossae and Romans and other places where he had preached the gospel, or at least had sent those to preach the gospel, to straighten them out from false teachers. Messing with the minds of the people of God, disturbing their peace, causing them to look away from Christ alone. He could have despaired, but he didn't. Instead, some of his most tender appeals in his letter are to those who are in error and sin. "Please," he said, "I'm convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, but I warn you he says. The gospel of Jesus Christ's peace is so full of undeserved love, free forgiveness, and humility in Christ's humble service to us, that when we remember it, when we put on our gospel of peace shoes, it strengthens us to live peaceably with others around us. To be a peacemaker, not a peacebreaker. So putting on the gospel of peace shoes reminds us that we only have to love others and serve others and forgive others like we have been loved, served, and forgiven by Christ. It reminds us that a gospel of peace that has been given us by the Son of God is so wonderful that when Satan comes to us through others and tempts us to sin against them, to lose heart, to give in to anger, to give in to despair, to refuse to speak the truth in love, whatever it may be, the shoes of gospel truth remind us how we have been treated by the Son of God and teaches us how we are to treat others. This applies to marriage, the way we think about, speak to, and act with our spouse. They may be, in God's providence, an instrument to put a stumbling block or a temptation in our path. With parents and children, where our children may be influenced by the evil one to tempt us as parents to lose heart and explode in anger or despair. It might be just living in a fallen world and working or going to school, but there are those around us that come our way and tempt us to forget Christ and how to live in grace and love toward all those around us. And yet, Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 4, do not give the devil an opportunity in your speech. Speak the truth in love and give no opportunity to the devil, he said. Let no ungracious, rotten word proceed from your mouth, but only that which is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not give the devil an opportunity in your response to others, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit in your response to others. Well, how do you do that? Here's what he said. You put on your gospel of peace shoes and let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We put on the gospel of peace shoes and be prepared to love our enemy, to forgive them while we stand praying, to overcome evil with good. If our enemy is hungry, we feed them. If they are thirsty, we give them a drink. And we overcome evil with good by putting on the gospel of peace shoes and being at peace insofar as possible, Paul said, with all men. For that is our witness as Christians. It shows the power of the gospel of peace in the way we live at peace. And the fourth thing putting on the gospel shoes means is that we prepare ourselves to be a faithful witness of the gospel of Christ everywhere we go. Now, there are some that say that's not an obligation of the Christian. That's what preachers do and missionaries do, is they bear witness of Christ to others. When the demoniac was healed by Christ and he cast out all those demons of the Gadarene demoniac, and this man sat unchained and clothed in his right mind. He said to Jesus, I want to follow you. And what he was saying is, you've done so many great things for me. I just want to follow you and be your disciple and help you in your ministry. Jesus said, no, you can't do that. Here's what I want you to do. Go home to your people and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. The woman at the well, Jesus offered the water of eternal life to take a drink of him and find what is true about life in him. He told her her sins and that she had had seven husbands and was living in immorality with another man right now. And then he told her that he was the Messiah that had come to establish all the promises of the Old Testament and a new time, a new kingdom, a new place of worship. And the Bible says that she went home, this adulterous woman, and told people that knew her about what had happened and what Jesus had said. And she asked them, could this be the Messiah? And then she led them back to him. Everywhere we go, we're bearing witness of the Son of God. We have opportunities to explain or to at least say something about Jesus Christ to other people. It may just simply be that you're praying to the Lord for strength, or God bless you, or I'm praying for you. Or it may be that you have opportunity with your child or your family member or a longtime friend that you've gained a testimony with to sit down and say, you know what, I've been wanting to say something to you for a long time. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he has worked in my heart and life, and I want you to know about him. He rose from the dead. He offers to sinners eternal life. I want you to know him because I love you. If we're to love our enemies, as Jesus said, then the least we can do is bring the gospel to them in some way. And not all of us are equally equipped to do it in the same way. But we are called to bring the gospel to our children, even if we're ill-equipped. And we're called to bring the gospel to those around us in the way we live and be ready to give account of the hope that's in us. And I believe putting on the gospel of peace shoes means that we're ready and we're prepared and we're thinking about spreading the gospel of peace to those around us everywhere we go. Do you think like that? Are you aware that sometimes an opportunity comes to say something of Christ and you've let it go by, and later you said, you know, I should have said something. Or I should have invited them to church or given them a tract or just told them, I understand how you feel and Christ has helped me with this. You need him. Many of Satan's strategies to entrap us in sins comes from other people. A bad boss, a sinful spouse, a rebellious child, an unfaithful church member, a dangerous driver on the road, one of my great trials in life. At such times, we're to have our gospel of peace shoes on and be ready to speak of Christ and be a peacemaker instead of a peace breaker, and point them, if possible, to the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. But you have to put on these gospel shoes before you go out the door, being ready, because opportunities come upon us unexpected. There may be words of grace and encouragement we can say to another, or just that I'm praying for you. It may be that we tell them that there is a way to find peace of mind in Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, Paul quoted from Isaiah in Romans chapter 10, and he said, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings, good news of good things." Aren't you thankful for those people in your life that said something to you about Christ, that prayed for you or took you to church or gave you a Bible or did something? Those are all testimonies of God's love for his enemies, to bring his enemies into his family. That's what grace does, and he calls us to put on those gospel shoes and remember our missionary God who has brought us to hear of Jesus Christ and then opened our hearts and drawn us into his bosom, and to have that same attitude of missionary grace and kindness toward our enemies. God may make them our friends. So how shall we conclude today on these shoes? Well, I think I'll do it this way. If you are living continually in an attitude of anxiety and worry and fear and anger and perhaps other sins, and you don't seem to have any power over them, they lead you around like we lead a horse around with a bridle in its mouth, then you need Jesus Christ. You need the Son of God to break the power of sin and Satan over your life that's destroying you and those around you. And if you do not turn to him for help to become at peace with God, you will face his judgment without a Savior that's eternal, that there is a hell. And you need to turn to Jesus Christ in prayer and repent of your sin and self-rule against God. You're opening yourself to the leadership of Satan to bring evil through your life into the lives of others, and believe that Jesus' death on the cross is sufficient to atone for even those sins that you've committed against God. And you need to believe in him and make peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to just come as you are. Paul said, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how it comes, a sinner trusting in him to make peace for you. And then you can live with the peace of God in your mind and heart, knowing that he loves you and cares for you. And you can trust him in the circumstances of your life, that just as he promised, he causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And you can live with peace in this world. And if you are a Christian and you're struggling hard against Satan's temptations to sin, you've identified certain sins that you want to overcome, sometimes you seem to have the ability to deal with them and resist them, and other times you just find yourself falling into it again. I have good news for you. And the good news is this. There's some gospel of peace shoes to put on. And if you'll put them on every day and remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, a perfect Savior who brings peace to sinners, God will send into your heart a peace which passes understanding and enable you to think clearly and resist the evil one in the evil day. It's all about Christ. And so I close with these words. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, think about him, who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. For you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Fight the good fight of faith. Put on the full armor of God. Look to Jesus Christ. Put on the gospel of peace shoes. And God will enable you to carve out a life that's honorable to the Son of God instead of one that brings dishonor to his name. Let us pray. Lord, help us to live for your glory, to be able to look to Christ and the gospel and find peace with God that never changes, and then to find the peace of God that comes from believing. Help us to live each day with a desire to bring glory to Christ, to fight the good fight of faith, and perhaps, Lord, even to influence others to consider him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.